Many people and efforts are focused on doing something about climate change. The efforts in California include something called Civic Spark. The main idea is to give a hand to local communities in their efforts to address a global issue on a local basis. We'll be talking to some of the people involved in Civic Spark on the North Coast. Larry Goldberg is the North Coast Regional Supervisor. Larry, welcome to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Hannah Nielsen is with us as well. She's an AmeriCorps member in the process of developing a climate change curriculum for K-12 students in Arcata. Hannah, welcome to you.
Good morning.
So start off on the general stuff, Larry, about like how Civic Spark got started and what its overall goals are.
Okay. Well, as you know, California is one of the leaders in climate change preparation and adaptation mitigation. And the Governor's Office of Planning and Research has developed a program that's implemented by a major state nonprofit called the Local Government Commission. And this program is called Civic Spark, and it's a partnership with AmeriCorps. This is actually one of the very first AmeriCorps programs in the nation to look at climate change and having AmeriCorps workers direct their efforts towards climate change. Our program is a three-year program that has 48 AmeriCorps workers working in nine regions around the state of California, basically from Eureka all the way down to San Diego and everything in between. And in all of these areas, we have local AmeriCorps workers who are directly engaged with local governments, helping them with technical support on climate change-related work, primarily working within local governments, working within local agencies to help them develop greenhouse gas plans, to develop alternate fuel readiness plans, and to do other work necessary for both adaptation and mitigation of climate change impacts.
So do the ideas for what to do in each community come from the community? Do they come from Civic Spark, a combination thereof?
It's really a combination. Civic Spark approached the various local governments and said, what are your needs? And there is a financial buy-in from the local entity, so they did have to have some financial resources to help support the program. But they managed to find many, many programs around the state that could use this assistance. And we've managed to engage 48 workers all over the state who are now really embedded with local governments and local agencies, helping them with their various efforts. In our area, we had four different projects that were identified as key Civic Spark related activities. And as a result, those got started. And we're into our first year now. We're just completing our first year of service.
And Hannah Nielsen, tell us about you and how you got involved with AmeriCorps in the first place, and then specifically in Civic Spark.
Yeah, I've just been really interested. I graduated from school in 2012, and I've always been really interested in sustainability. And so I heard about this program, and I was actually already living in the area. And so I think that climate change is one of the biggest issues of our time, so I really wanted to be involved in trying to make a difference. And so that's why I initially applied through this program. And I'm really interested in education, and so the project that I got to work on was really perfect for me.
And how did the project develop? I mean, who came up with the original idea, and where did it move from there?
Well, it was a partnership between the city of Arcata and a nonprofit called the Coastal Ecosystem Institute of Northern California. And they realized that there was a gap in wanting to figure out what was being taught in around Humboldt Bay on climate change. And so it was kind of my job to do a survey and assessment and see what resources were being used and what the gaps were and barriers in teaching climate change. And from there, develop resources to fill that gap.
How much was being taught about climate change in the schools already?
I found that there wasn't really a lot formally being taught. There was a lot of interest in teaching about climate change. I did a survey and assessment for K through 12, and there was interest across all grades to teach about climate change, but what was being taught was really informal, just teachers talking about current events or bringing it up maybe a day. But there was no really formal teaching or curriculum that was being implemented. So there really was a big gap being taught or not being taught.
Is there even stuff in textbooks about it at this point, or are they everybody kind of trotting carefully because of how controversial it can be?
Yeah, there's not really a lot in textbooks, but right now there's new science standards that are being developed or being implemented in California. So schools are switching over to the next generation science standards, and with those standards, schools are actually supposed to teach about climate change, but curriculum hasn't been developed for those science standards yet. So it's in a transitionary phase right now where schools need to start switching over to teach about climate change, but the resources aren't developed.
We're talking about Civic Spark in California, a program designed to help local governments develop programs to address climate change on a local level. We're talking to Larry Goldberg, the North Coast Regional Supervisor, and you just heard Hannah Nielsen. She's an AmeriCorps member developing a climate change curriculum for schools in the Humboldt Bay area. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions, comments, thoughts on climate change and its teaching, welcome at 800-838-3760 around the region. 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Hannah's program is not the only one on the North Coast, is it, Larry?
No, we're doing several other programs that are all very important in the climate change area, one of which is alternative fuels readiness planning. We're working through a local agency called the Redwood Coast Energy Authority, which is a joint powers authority of all the local governments of the North Coast here in California. And they have a mandate to develop an alternate fuels readiness plan to essentially figure out how we're going to be rolling out the fuels of the future. And we're talking here about alternate fuels like ethanol, biofuel, and even hydrogen. We're also involved in a electric vehicles infrastructure planning, and we are part of a team that's putting together the plan for all the charging stations up and down Highway 101 through our region. And we've our agency has purchased the first of these stations, and we helped with the siting and design. We are now actually producing a workbook that's going to identify as a buyer's guide to charging stations. So local governments will know how to actually select various electric charging stations. I don't know if you realize this, but there are many different standards out there. This is not by any means standardized. And so trying to find the right charging station for what your community needs is actually a big selection. And so we're helping with that selection process.
You mean the standards are different for the cars or what?
Well, it's the standards in the different kinds of chargers. There are fast chargers. There's different kind of plug-ins. The industry is still in the process of standardizing, but some cars can take a fast charge, which is a high voltage charge, and some require slower. There's different metering and how you use a credit card to purchase your electricity if you're charging. And we're also looking at how the physical requirements are for hooking up, what kind of electrical panel you need to be able to hook up a charging station in a public area. So there's siting issues about how to site these charging stations. We're actually developing a database of likely locations as the demand increases. Additional charging stations will be installed, and we're trying to find the best places to put them in public areas.
Are there a bunch of charges already along the North Coast?
Well, there are some, but not that many. And as you can imagine, in different areas, I'm sure in your big urban centers, you know, in Medford and San Francisco and Portland, there are many, many charging stations. But when you get to a rural area like ours, they're few and far between. And if you wanted to, for example, take a trip from, let's say, Ashland down to San Francisco, and you have an electric vehicle, you're going to need to stop along the way and charge. And so we're trying to have it so you can have an app on your Android or iPhone. You'll be able to see where all the charging stations are, what their fees are, and be able to pull into one that's convenient to you. So we're trying to at least have them all up and down Highway 101 from the Oregon border down to the bottom of California. The Brown administration really wants to see electric infrastructure widely distributed.
And we're talking again with Larry Goldberg, North Coast Regional Supervisor for Civic Spark, attempting to help local communities in California come up with plans to address climate change. Hannah Nielsen is with us as well, an AmeriCorps member developing a climate change curriculum for schools in Arcata. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts, comments, questions. We're talking about climate change and addressing it at a local level. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Larry, you mentioned, I think it was 48 AmeriCorps workers across 29 regions. So is there somebody else besides Hannah?
Yes, I, Sorry, it was across nine regions.
Oh, nine. Sorry.
Yeah, so there are nine regions within the state, and we have we've had three other members. One member dropped out, so we have three total members now. But in some regions, there's as many as seven or eight. In San Francisco Bay Area, there's seven, and in other areas, there are more. We have members across the state, Sacramento, San Joaquin Valley, San Diego, you name it, we have coverage all over. Our members up here are all housed at the Redwood Coast Energy Authority, and they're working on different projects. In fact, one of our members is working on a trails program in the Bay Area where they are working with Silicon Valley employers trying to get, there's a 500-mile trail system throughout the Bay Area that we're trying to really encourage people to get out of their cars and start bicycling and walking to work. And so we're involved in a study on this at this time to help local employers encourage bicycle and alternative transportation to really impact greenhouse gas impacts in the Bay Area.
Is Civic Spark meant to provide a spark and then go away, Larry? I mean, is it going to disappear after two, 3 years or something?
Well, we don't really know what the next steps are. We know that the first few years are really designed to create an infrastructure. We really want to create a demand for these services around the state, and many local governments are just beginning to really get their act together on greenhouse gas inventories and greenhouse and climate change implementation plans. So first of all, there's the building the demand. And second of all, it's actually building a program that could be either taken over or modified in the future, depending on the political winds, of course, if this will be government-funded or private sector-funded. But I think we're going to see more of this work in the future because it's so in demand. I mean, just as you reported today, there's smoke everywhere from forest fires. And we think the forest fires are going to be a increasing and most likely regular pattern that are going to be coming from our droughts and additional impacts of climate change, not to mention we're going to have sea level rise, we're going to have other impacts that have got to be planned for. These are the kinds of things that require long-term planning, and Civic Spark could be a part of that solution.
Hannah, I want to come to you on the sea level rise that Larry just mentioned, because that is something that probably could easily be a part of the curriculum you're developing for the Arcata schools. Is that something you reference very closely and carefully? And does it include things like field trips?
Yeah, actually, that is the topic that I geared my lesson plans around, was sea level rise. I focused on that as impact because it is a very obvious one. So I actually developed four lesson plans that focus on sea level rise around Humboldt Bay. And right now, there's not a field trip component, but I think that is a gap that could be addressed in the future for an add-on to this project and working with other nonprofits to maybe develop a an outdoor component added to the curriculum. So I definitely think there's a possibility there that could be added to the curriculum already developed.
You know, one thing I might point out to add on to Hannah's comment is that we have one of the fastest sinking areas in the entire West Coast. As you are well aware, we're in what's called a subduction zone. So tied to sea level rise, we're also losing altitude because of tectonic subduction. So our bay and our area is sinking more rapidly than any place in California. Therefore, we're going to see some of the first impacts of sea level rise. And right now, our highway administration, Caltrans, is looking at what to do with Highway 101, which is looking like it may be inundated in the next 50 years. Not to mention, we have other infrastructure. We have a sewage treatment plant in Arcata that's right at sea level. And so one of the important things of Civic Spark is to localize these climate impacts. We definitely want to teach students and teach the public that climate change is not just going to affect polar bears in the Arctic. It's really going to affect you in your daily life.
Yeah, we've had some discussions already about 101 and the potential for action, the need for action if things continue as they're going. Let's take a call here from Joseph in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about climate change and Civic Spark with Larry Goldberg and Hannah Nielsen.
Did you say my name?
Yes.
Okay, great. I was hoping to draw attention towards Well, let's see. Thermal mass that buildings and roads provide, as in raising temperature gathering temperature, as in warmth. And then I was also wondering about the transportive insulation layer or buffer that forests may provide and the thinning of those.
So you're saying by thinning the forest, we lose some of that transportive insulation layer? Or we improve it?
That may affect global warming.
All right. Good points to bring up. Thanks for those, Joseph. Appreciate it. Hannah, is this part of the curriculum you've talked about, either thermal mass? And I believe what he's talking about is that buildings and roads and things that absorb heat and hold it.
No, I really focused on sea level rise because it really was a first step to developing regional climate change curriculum. I just have 4 lesson plans right now. There's definitely room to build on the lesson plans and focus on other regional impacts, but I just chose to focus on sea level rise at this time.
You know, I might also point out that Hannah's program has really focused primarily on 6th grade curriculum having to do with the, K through 6 level. Eventually, we'd like to really develop a high school curriculum, which may go above and beyond and go into many more areas of impact with climate change. But we're using current scientific data for all of the analyses, and we're looking at the local impacts of which sea level rise is simply one. There's also the drought issues, there's fires. We have a mariculture industry, and we're worried about the impact of the acidification of the ocean due to climate change, and that could affect our oyster industry. So these are all impacts that we'd like to develop in a curriculum plan down the line.
We'll take a couple more minutes here talking about Civic Spark California with Larry Goldberg and Hannah Nielsen. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Hannah, I'm just curious to know if there was much you could find out there, I'm assuming you looked, to see if there was existing curricular materials out there for teaching a unit on climate change to 6th graders.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of resources online. There are a lot of climate change curriculum. What there isn't is a regional focus, and I think that's kind of what my grant focused on, was looking at developing regional climate change materials, because as Larry mentioned before, a lot of what kids get when they learn about climate change is the polar bears and something that feels very far away from home and something they can't relate to. So my goal was to bring it back home so they could see how climate change relates to their lives and their community. And so there are a lot of resources online, lesson plans and whatnot for middle school and different grades, but there isn't really anything developed for the Humboldt Bay region or for a regional focus. And so part of my project actually was to compile a list of resources and curriculums that are online. And so that's part of what I did. And I actually just put up my the website with my lesson plans and a list of resources, so that's accessible for teachers to use as well. There definitely are a lot of lesson plans out there, just none I found with a regional focus, which is really important.
So your stuff, you're saying, is available for the school year coming up in just a couple of weeks?
Yeah, exactly. It's been put up on the Coastal Ecosystem Institute of Northern California website, which is kind of a long name, but it's the CEINC.
All right. We'll make sure we link to it from our webpage and our Facebook page before.
Right, and the Civic Spark program link is civicspark.lgc.org, and there's a lot of information there about how to apply to become an AmeriCorps Civic Spark member and also how local jurisdictions can apply for a project. So we would like to see other communities. We'd like to see the North Valley, Redding, and Wairika, places like that, that may have interest in some projects. We'd love to see some projects come out of that area as well.
Do the local communities have to put some money into this by themselves, or is this all coming down from the state? How does the whole funding mechanism work, Larry?
Well, there's a share. The local government commission provides some resources, and they require a share from the local governments. There's a fully loaded rate of $18 an hour that is that's required for the local jurisdictions to put up, and that includes, you know, that's a fully loaded rate that includes, you know, the AmeriCorps members' time, the supervision, benefits, also the connections with the local government commission, that they could provide a connection to the governor's office for any research or technical support. So there is a cost to this. At this point, communities all up and down the state have invested in this at this point, and it's our understanding that over $1 million of local projects have been created in this year alone.
Since it is AmeriCorps, does that mean there's some federal money in here as well?
Yes, there is federal money as well. I don't understand all the mechanics of that. That's actually from the administrative level in Sacramento, but there is a federal component, a state component, and of course the local government commission is the body that runs the program.
All right, the LGC, so you know, we already have a link to that on our website, for Civic Spark. So by what you're saying and urging other communities to get involved, does that mean there's still a chance to get into the program?
Absolutely. In fact, we're only in year one. There are two more years of the program. We're entertaining applications now. Any community that's interested in developing climate action planning, this could include doing their greenhouse gas inventories, developing a climate action plan, working on alternative fuels, anything related to climate change and climate change mitigation and adaptation, that's all eligible. And local governments is pretty widely defined as any local government, and this could include Native American tribes. This can include special districts. This can include any kind of local government entity. So if we're talking to the Harbor Commission, we're talking to local service commissions, anyone can apply.
All right. It is called Civic Spark. Larry Goldberg is the North Coast Regional Supervisor for Civic Spark in that region. Hannah Nielsen is one of the AmeriCorps members in that region developing a climate change curriculum for K-6 education. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.